Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode. We are now delighted to introduce our new sponsor, Orga Retro. Go retro with orgaretro.com, specialists in county retro style clothing. Get yourself organised for 2023.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode 97 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. A glorious weekend for Tipperary hurling. Every time you come away from Nolan Park with a win. I'm joined here today by Sean Smith from Turner Sarsfield, Stephen Cronin from Carrick Devon, and Colin Purcell from Clonmelogue. You're very welcome, lads. All happy, I presume?
Yeah, good.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Kevin is still away on holiday, so I'm saying this is my last one. When Tip are winning, you get the old bug, you know, and you want to come on and talk about it. But look, we'll listen to Liam Cahill's thoughts after the match there in a few minutes. But how did you make it, Stephen? What did you make of it? You'll be close enough to Kilkenny down there. You were happy enough to get a win in Nolan Park.
Oh, very happy. And just going into work then yesterday morning, and none of the Kilkenny lads talking to me made it even better. So, but very enjoyable match. And strangely, just talking to my father on it Sunday night, strangely, it was probably the most stress-free match I've ever watched Tipperary, especially against Kilkenny, because they were, for the most part, they were just dominated all over the field, you know, and it's not often we say that about Tipperary and Kilkenny games, you know. Unfortunately, they've had the hex on us for a number of years, but it was just the freshness, the zip, the, you know, you could see the game plan, what they were trying, and the fight. Like, look, one of the highlights for me was, I know I shouldn't be really promoting this, but the little scuffle that broke out with Noel McGrath and a few of the boys and the Tip lads, anyone within 30 yards was there straight away. And it killed all Kilkenny momentum and lifted Tip again. And it was just that kind of stuff, the passion and the intensity, even though it's only a league game. It was brilliant to see compared to where we were this time last year.
Yeah, to be honest, now, Stephen, I have it down on my notes as well to discuss. I thought it came at a very opportune time, that little row, and I thought it was very smart out of Noel, whether he did it intentionally or not. It was very smart and broke. And you hear that, you know, where lads, we were on the receiving end of it ourselves there one year, where someone started a row to stop and I'll run the scores, you know, and look, that's the way it goes. But I suppose we'll reference everything by saying 'tis only the league. But Sean, it was a 6-point hammering. We were 12 up at half time. Now Kilkenny got a run on us there in the second half, but we were by far the better team for the whole of the game, I suppose, weren't we?
Yeah, for sure. Grim going in 12 at half time and lost second half by 6, but the first half, like at 15, 20 minutes, we're kind of sitting there down below Nolan Park, and Kenny Crowd are kind of in silence. There's not a peep out of them compared to who's down there. And even they're kind of looking, getting annoyed. There's a lot of bad wise by both teams. No, the shooting at the time of year was bad, but like Tip's work rate and desire to just go out and score. I went to goals there on the first half, and just the game was put to bed at half time. There's no, like, no two ways about it. I know Hogan in the second half did make a great save when Kenny were rallying back, but like, Noah popped up a score at the other end. You know, there's lads that's popping scores over there, and Ford was just spying again that he's striking. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he was excellent. Colm, again, you're another man who loves getting a win over Kilkenny. But you must have been very happy on Sunday evening.
Look, Mike, I was. And, like, you know, I was thinking about it afterwards. Like, you support teams and you follow teams because for days like Sunday, you go down to play your biggest rivals and you beat them. And that's brilliant. And like, there was a few people online afterwards, sort of online Grinches, I call them, kind of saying, oh, it's only the league, or it's only this, or it's only that, or we lost the second half by 6 points. Well, like, we won the game. We were 12 points up at halftime. You know, the second half, okay, Kilkenny came back into it. But as Sean and Stephen said, like, we never looked like losing that game. And if we'd lost the game, it would have been a travesty. Like, so loads of positives for me. Like, the first thing I'd say, and I've said this after each game, I continue to see it, we look far fitter, far more conditioned. There's definitely a buzz about our hurling. You know, as the lad said, even when Noel started that row, and I think everything Noel McGrath does is planned. I think, you know, he's got such a brain in his head for this kind of stuff. I'd say that was well planned. Like, everything we did on Sunday, I thought, had a purpose to it. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't. But you're never going to get perfection in sport. You're, you know, so I'm extremely happy that we won the game. I said it a few weeks ago. It's a long time since we've won games. In fact, the last team of note that we bet was probably Kilkenny 12 months ago, lads, wasn't it? So it was nice to go out and beat it, you know, one of our big rivals. And now the challenge is push on, beat Dublin again, and, you know, in 2 weeks' time, and then beat Waterford, get to a league final. Like, that's what following a team is about. And if you're training hard all winter, like the players are, you want to be going out winning games. You know, that's what it's about. So I would make no apologies for winning down there last Sunday. I'd make no apologies for being happy afterwards. We can talk if we want about, you know, where we can improve on. And there's always aspects to improve on. And I think Liam Callow had been happy, funnily enough, that we lost the second half in one sense, because it gave him something to go back into the dressing room afterwards with and have a go at the players, you know. So no harm in that either.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as you mentioned, Liam Cahill, we'll have a listen to his interview there after the match. It's about 6 minutes long, and it's quite interesting to listen to him talking.
Where we're trying to get fitness levels up and a few little bits and pieces around game plans and that to the forefront. But, you know, I'd be hoping that our hurling will come a bit better, and I'm sure Kilkenny's will come as well as the evenings get longer and the hurling gets a bit quicker.
And the National League, what are you hoping to get out of? Because you're giving a lot of game time to players, and brought back Seamus Callanan today, and well, he didn't get a score. He put in a good shift now until you took him off there.
Yeah, Seamus, it was nice to see Seamus back today, and gave a great pass for the first goal. And you know, Seamus retains all of his ability, like, in fairness, and all of that. That style he has since he first joined the Tipperary set up. So, you know, he'll be a big player for us as the year goes on. But no, to answer your question, Nicky, to get something out of the league, we're hoping to get to the latter stages with more competitive games and more preparation, the better for the championship.
Liam, the young lads did well today, but again, the lads that lit it up most today was the likes of Jason Ford, Noel McGrath. Happy with their application and character, of course.
Absolutely. You know, that's they're consistent performers, aren't they, and have been for the last number of years with Tipperary, so they're a big part of our setup. But very happy with the younger fellas that are in around them, and they're learning, you know, and these boys create a great culture. The likes of the older fellas, Jamie there, and Jason and Dan and Noel, and all these boys are setting a really good culture inside with these young fellas to get them to aspire to what's required to play for Tipperary.
I know you can't single out too many young lads, but after today, Conor Bowe was very good. A guy that did a lot of good work again, trying to break into the team. A lot of the Fitzgibbon lads, you couldn't turn today. You're probably watching the Fitzgibbon on the far side, but obviously happy with everyone. performance today and the character they showed, especially when Kilkenny were coming back at you.
Absolutely, and as I said it before the game, down here in Nolan Park, I came here myself a couple of times as a player, and I guarantee you one thing, it's not a simple place to come to, and they'd ask big questions of you, and you know, Kilkenny will be disappointed today obviously, but they asked big questions of us, and it was great learnings for both teams.
Liam, apologies if you aren't, if you've been asked it already, but 2008, it's a long time to wait for a victory here.
Yeah, it is. It's quite some time. We came down with good teams, but Kilkenny pride themselves on winning down here, and that's always the way. And you know, I'm sure tonight Derek and the boys won't read too much into this come April when the championship starts. So look, it's just a bit of work in progress for both sides under new managers, really.
Room for improvement, 15 wides as well. It showed a hell of a lot of shots, but room for improvement.
Yeah, this time of the year, your hurling is not where it's going to be or need to be, so I'd be hoping that'll improve as the long evenings come in and we start hurling a bit more in training and ease back a bit on the physical side of it. So.
Just the way the second half went, Lee, were you a little bit worried when they got it back to four, obviously after being such command at half-time?
You would be worried, all right, but I said to Mikey beside me, it's a great challenge now to see how the players react between the lines, you know, and see how they figure it out. And, you know, they fought away and clutched at straws, really. We got a couple of scores there again to run a play, and it just kept the scoreboard ticking over. And, you know, I'd be hopeful as the year progresses, we'll find ourselves in situations like that more often. And the more often we find ourselves in situations like that, and hopefully it is the better we'll get. So.
And next Sunday in Thurlesley, back again. Now, but whatever about the game, I think the occasion is important. Remembering a great young hurler that would really have been out here today. So I'm sure you'd be hoping that the Kilkenny supporters in particular will travel and support this very worthy cause.
Absolutely, Nicky. Next Sunday we'll do it all again in Thurles this time, and obviously, you know, a different occasion. You know, we remember our fallen comrade in Dillon Quirk, and it'll bring on a different array of emotions, especially for us in the Tipperary dressing room. But it's one we're looking forward to, and it's one that that's very, very close to us and going to be very, very important.
Liam, can I say, you were going in at half time 12 points up. What was the kind of message to the group? Probably maybe didn't expect to be as much ahead at half time. Just wondering what the message was to the group, knowing that probably Kilkenny were going to come back in the second half.
Yeah, I'm sure the message was quite simple. We had to start the second half, which we did, but we didn't capitalise. We left two or three scoring chances behind us to drive the scoreboard up maybe to 14, 15 points. And we didn't think, can you do that to Kilkenny? You give them oxygen, and they came at us. And, you know, obviously it was to see out the game. That was the primary objective, because, you know, we wouldn't have been seen out games maybe as well in the past. That would be a narrative that's out there around Tipperary, that they don't see out big leads. But today was important for us to make sure we saw it out.
Can I ask about Paddy Cadell as well? It looked some sort of a leg injury for him. Do you have any kind of clarity on what that was?
No, we've no idea yet as to what it is. But, you know, Paddy would be a player that wouldn't be coming off too easy unless it was something that was fairly severe. So,
And Cathal Barrett's injury as well?
Yeah, Cathal Barrett is a shoulder injury. So again, the way this league and championship is structured, our medics are going to be fairly busy again this week, and it is tough going on players now. So hopefully things can sort themselves out, and we'll get these boys back in the field, and it's not too bad.
What pleased you most about today?
I think their battling qualities are our ability to, when Kilkenny came at us, to kind of go back to be ordinary between the lines and just kind of, how would you say, stem out that wave of Kilkenny dominance and just battle through it and keep the scoreboard taken over and get the result. Simple, you know.
Seamus Callan back. He was lively early on first
half. Yeah, it's a good start for Seamus. It's his first real competitive game, so you couldn't be too hard on him, like, you know what I mean? So he came back today, showed a lot of energy there for 40-45 minutes. That was always the plan. We were never going to see him out for the full game today down here, especially in the environment that was in Nolan Park. It was a real good baptism for him, and really happy with the way he came through the 40-45 minutes he got.
Last question now, lads.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Armas.
No.
Go ahead.
Mikey Breen's 5 games in now into fullback. This is probably his first real big test coming down to Nolan Park.
That's a big plus for the day as well. Mikey, you know, was steady back there and is getting back into the familiar role that he played there a number of years ago as a minor under 21. So if Mikey can continue that form, it's a big plus for us going into the remainder of the league and the championship.
Thanks, lads.
Okay, lads. What did you make of Cal's interview there? He was he certainly wasn't as upbeat as we were, but as Colm had said there before the interview, there was probably a stick to beat the team with a little bit, in that they fell off. And I suppose for 50 minutes we were outstanding, I thought, and then they came back into it. And as Sean has alluded to, Barry Hogan made a very important save that would have probably brought them back to maybe 2 or 3 points in it at the time. But then we saw out the game. But maybe we are doing a lot of work, but we certainly tailed off in that last 20 minutes, didn't we, Sean?
Yeah, I would be. We kind of, our forwards seemed to get sucked out there at one point. I sitting down at the end, we're attacking the town end, to call it, in the second half there. And at one stage there, when Sean Ryan inside, and kind of he looked a bit lost. He's on his own, no support. He worked hard on the right inside with the balls that came in, but then we got some loose scores in from the half-back, half-forward-line midfield that kind of saw us through, but we kind of tittered out and kind of not hanging on, but I always knew we were going to hold out, but just there wasn't that final drive maybe in the last 5-10 minutes that you'd want, Cal, who want to see again. To the league with all managers at the weekend, their interviews after game were all about there's things to work on, but they're all taking positives out as well as negatives, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen, what did you make of the interview? Do you think, obviously, as Sean said, managers are going to play down, I suppose, results and that, especially at this time of the year. But Cahill will have things to work on, won't he?
Yeah, plenty to work on. I think one of the points he touched on was the shooting, you know, and look, they're probably training. They're training up in the dark. I know the lights are on and all that, and they're, you know, their sessions, their field sessions now are probably 2 or 3 to 1 compared up against the now in a daytime session, you know, at the weekend maybe. And it was noticeable that the shooting boots weren't great, but it probably did us a favour as well, because Tipperary should have come off that field at half time with 20 points on the board easy, you know, and that's a huge positive, I think, for us. But like we want to be hitting them, we want to be bringing the shooting boots for the summer. But like if we went in there, we went out in 12-point lead, we could have easily went in with 15 points. Then the second half is a no contest, you know. But with 12-point there and Kilkenny having their purple patch, which they would have, they were going to have it in Nolan Park. It's how we reacted, and we reacted to their purple patch, I thought, brilliantly. Look, we got a little bit tired towards the end of the first half, the end of the second half, but I thought that was more to do with the likes of, look, the shift Alan Tynan put in. I was saying to one of the lads that was at the match, he looked shattered. He's going to be coming off there shortly enough, you'd be thinking. But he would never was. It was like as if it was a plan to get as much game time into certain lads, you know, and just, if they're tired, they're tired, get on with it. You know, that kind of way. And although I was surprised to see we did the 5.5 substitutes, you know, I was surprised to see that, because it looked like he was trying to keep as close to the starting team on for as much and for as long as possible. But look, we got tired towards the end. Do I expect us to be a full 100 mile an hour, 70 minute team in the middle of February? No, we want to be doing that in the summertime. And, you know, so I wouldn't worry about getting tired in the last couple of minutes of a game. We still won handy despite their purple patch.
Yeah. Colm, a lot has been made of I suppose, teams and the age profile of teams nowadays. But over the last 2 weeks, we've had Shamey and Bonner, who are, I suppose, in their 30s, playing a full forward. Jason Ford, who was a powerhouse at the weekend, is 29 years old. Are those guys leading the young guys now, like we wanted them to, I suppose, even last year? Are they putting in the shift that we expect them to?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I mean, a couple of things on that, I suppose. First of all, Cal himself will know that he needs leaders. You know, he needs his leaders, his men, out in the field. And like the work that Shamey Callanan put in last Sunday was phenomenal. You know, he was up and down the field. Like, that was his first inter-county game, by my reckoning, in 18 to 20 months. So I don't think he's played since, you know, the summer of 2021. I don't think he didn't play any part in the championship last year, and didn't play, I don't think, in any of the league games either. So like, it was phenomenal to see Callanan put in that amount of work. Like Noel McGrath, like, I mean, I know it's the biggest cliche in hurling, but the man is just a Rolls Royce there, whether he's centre field, centre forward, wherever he is, you know, he just, the game just goes through him, and you know, he sees things that other lads just don't see on the fields. So it was, it's really good, really promising to see Noel leading by example. And as the boy said earlier on there, you know, maybe starting a bit of a schmozzle there as well, just to calm things down in a way like that. That was really, really helpful. On Bonner, you know, like there's a part of me, I suppose, that thinks it mightn't be the best sign in the world if we're going into championship depending on Shamey and Bonner, that you'd love to see that a couple of newer lads have put their hands up and had forced their way into the team, if that makes sense. So, you know, I have to qualify all the good stuff about the older guys by saying there's a part of me that thinks I'd love to see maybe Connor Bowe or Alan Tynan, you know, coming in and nailing down a place in the team as well, and putting pressure on the older guys and nearly pushing them out. But, you know, we've a few more. We've next Sunday against Kilkenny, obviously in a different scenario, and a couple of league games then after that to nail down our starting 15. But you could have nothing but admiration for Shamey, for Noel, for Bonner, year in, year out, going back to the well and leading by example.
Yeah, so yeah. All the way from Lanzarote, Kevin Ryan is back in the building. Kevin, how are you?
It's actually Malta, just to be the Malta Tourism Board, a big plug there. So
that's very posh of you. Very posh of you. Tell me, Kevin, the young players for Tip, Johnny Ryan, who's just 21, Owen Conley is 22 and played 68, 69 minutes the other day. Alan Tynan and Sean Ryan, who I thought was very good when he came on, looked very lively. They're a big source of encouragement for the Tip public at the moment.
Yeah, look, they're probably all not going to feature regularly in championship, but you know, the four of them named, if you got, you know, certainly one I think you need, but you know, if you got two out of that four maybe to nail down a championship spot, you'd be in good order. You know, to take, I think West, I read Westside's piece and he was kind of gushing and praise for his fellow Westmen, Mike. You know, I think Johnny Ryan, you know, I heard kind of different things. You know, some say he kind of struggled a bit in the game, but you'd expect to against Kilkenny. So I think he's definitely one worth persevering with. Owen Connolly, I think, you know, he definitely showed the canniness to probably stop a goal by giving away a, you know, a good foul kind of in the first half when Tip kind of got on. You know, so like, would he be comfortable inside as a two and full back? Like, is that his best position? You know, again, a lad you'd like to see a bit more of now with a bit of a run. You can't. Sean Ryan, yeah, probably, like, geez, the fours, like, are, you know, there's some competition there. Like, you know, he's had a good couple of years club scene, so he'd love to see him getting a run, but tough to break into, as I said. Yeah, maybe an impact sub role. He's definitely a live wire. And, you know, I've, again, contrasting views on Tynan, but I think definitely, you know, the scope of him to improve, I think, you know, his ceiling could be very high indeed. So I think definitely on him there, he'd be worth persevering. You know, when you talk about the modern game, up and down, I think he's potential to give you so much. And I think I'd hope he'd learn from every game. You know, when he sees back his plays and his analysis, touch wasn't wonderful at some stages, and, like, you know, decision making, a couple of hand passes got astray, but he just looked like a lad that would just battle away for the day, like, which is maybe where, you know, us mere mortal hurlers, like, are kind of identified with those sorts of traits. Like, you'd like to think you do that yourself, but yeah, I think there's, you know, just a turnaround in 6 or 7 months from Tip, like, you know, who looked, you know, a bit of a farce on in the last year, like, you know, has been great to see.
Yeah, I suppose the modern game, Kevin sees, like, and we go back to Limerick because they're the archetypes of it, but Hegarty and Morrissey, like, they work back the field. And, like, is Cahill trying to pick a team or certainly trying to look at a formation where our two wing forwards are now coming out to meet them? When you see Tynan, who is quite a big lad and likes to put in a shift, and Seamus Kendi being put up there, whose primary job has always been defensively, for Tip anyway. Is that kind of where he's looking, that work rate out around the middle of the field off our two half forwards?
I think definitely, and you would have seen that with his Waterford teams as well before that. I think the early move of Seamus, whether he's six for championship or latter into the league, into the forwards, was a clear sign he was looking for a bit more physicality there in the half and a bit more of a presence. Alan Tynan's kind of role as well would fit into that. Yeah, that's very much the modern game. You know, I would have a bit of a doubt in the back of my mind, is Mimic and Limerick team, who probably perfected it for 4 or 5 years now, the way to go about beating them. But, you know, from, I suppose, from where we've been coming from, it's a very good start. And maybe, you know, with the likes of Jason Ford, like having the finishers that we do with the forwards there to punish teams and, you know, go toe-to-toe with Limerick. You know, just Limerick again, looking at the weekend, you just have to be so efficient. I know we're talking about Tip here now, to actually beat them at their own game, like, you know, in the forward strike. And just one other thing about Noel there, I thought it was just the Markham, like, he mishit one, you know, from distance about halfway through the first half. And then the next one he struck from about the same area was over the black spot and just wasn't in doubt. Like, you know, it's just like a wizard. Like, you know, when we have players like him to add to the physicality of your Tynans or your Shames, whoever's there, your Bonners, like, I think it gives us a chance against most teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean, a penalty, I suppose, is hugely important, especially with the fight or the four games in Munster. Not everyone rarely plays every game, but I think we've used 28 over the two games, and we still haven't seen Niall O'Mara, Kieran Connolly, Reece Shelley, who got injured, who was down to play but got injured against UL, and Quigley hasn't seen, I don't know whether he came on for a little while against Leash, but he certainly hasn't seen much game time. Like, there is a serious panel building, but at the same time, with only three games left in the league, well, four, because we look like we're going to get to a semi-final, you probably need to be nailing down, I suppose, not that Cahill will ever say that to a panel, but he needs to be tightening up the amount of players he's used.
Yeah, definitely. And like, there's lads last Sunday there that kind of, I'd like love to see him again in the Heffron anyway as one. The strength and the power coming out there, like, again, he needs game time, but then do you want to put someone else instead of him to give them game time? So that's kind of where you're kind of looking at Brian O'Mara there. More likely he could be in the half back line. So if you start him over him, like, Pádraig Campion might need another game, maybe it's more of a loss to six, but then Roland beside him is Roland's number seven. So the names you mentioned there that are missing, like Niall O'Mara, is a fit Niall O'Mara and Connolly. Should be no reason. Like, Shelley should have started and goal, has got a knock, all right, with Fitz there during the week. So hopefully you might see him. But then with Fitz being still involved, you wouldn't know. But I do say the panel is building, but like, it's hard to judge, I think, a lad off one game. Like, do you want to give him two or three? But there's not enough games, as you said there, unless we get to the semis in the final league where he might just play a few different games team against. So he could name any team, I say, come Dublin there Saturday week, and this Sunday could be interesting as well, which would be a great workout again for lads. So there is games, but the problem is games are going to dry up very quickly, and if lads aren't pressing on the field and you want to see him again, like, we want to see him again in public as well.
Yeah. Stephen, I suppose Jason Ford got the plaudits at the weekend. He got the man of the match, and we've been talking about Noel and the class he showed. Was there anyone else that stood out for you was making a huge impact on the game that maybe we haven't or hasn't done so before?
Yeah, well, I suppose, like, I in the second half there, I was Alan Tynan was on my side in the second half, and it's just to watch what he's doing. Like, I know, look, his touch can get better and his shooting and decision making get better, but to see the, what he offers the team when we come back the way, which that's the way hurling's gone. Everyone gets back to help out and then you get forward. But to see what he offers in the defensive side of it when it's needed, like, just to watch him, like, I was only about 15 rows back there, and you're thinking he's hugging the touchline. When he's winning a ball, then he's slipping the tackle on the outside and you're thinking, no, you can't go outside because you're going to go outside. But to watch him slip a tackle, he must be getting it from the rugby days. I don't know, but it's brilliant. And I think he's going to offer an awful lot to Tipperary this year. Like, you know, there won't be a 2 year bedding in for him. I think what I'd like to think is when they're up in training, they're playing games for the weekend. They're playing games that, you know, lads, if I don't perform here in training, I'm not going to be playing the weekend. And I think although we're running out of games as such, you'd hope Cahill and Bevans are picking their team and what's going on there, because the boys are bringing an intensity that's through the roof. And look, we mightn't have much game time left for lads to be seeing them, but if the managers are seeing them up there and they're happy what they're doing, you'd like to think they can come down and perform when called upon. I know we're trying to build experience and all that into these lads, but we just, from where we started off last year, we just don't have time to be playing loads and loads of different fellas. So I think you'll probably start seeing the same faces now in the next two or three games, and it's just up to the lads in the training field to reclaim their, to get their spots back, you know.
We'll convert you, Mike. The Allentine and fan club, we'll convert you.
Yeah.
Just on Allentine there, like, as in, I was thinking back, is it like he, it was minor the last time he played a tip. So, like, he's what, 8 years off playing in the county level. So, like, other lads on the panel have probably been dipping in and out in the county under 20 or 21. So, like, it'll take maybe another, again, time again. But, like, I saw everything. I echo Stephen here. I saw him, like, he just won balls and rocked and ran towards goals and was something that we need, I think, as well, on top of everyone else. So, like, you know, I'd be all positive about my name.
I kind of compare him a small bit to Seamus Kennedy when he first broke on. When I was watching Seamus Kennedy when he first broke on, he was half back the first year in his first, and I thought his at the time, you know, unfortunately for him, was comparing him to Paddy Maher and Brendan Maher that were beside him, like, but his hurling wasn't as quick. You know, he'd all the athleticism and the running ability, but his hurling decision making wasn't as quick. You see Shamey coming on the field, especially in 2000. Like, for me, Seamus Kennedy starts for Tipperary come championship. Where it's half forward or half back, he starts. You'd see him when he came on the pitch, his composure, and he's, I think he came on two or three times for blood subs and all concussions. But his composure now compared to when he first started was unbelievable. And that came on the trainer field. And the manager saw something in the trainer field and they said, right, we're playing him. Alan Tynan seems to be doing the same thing. And if anyone's getting left behind that were maybe there the last couple of years when Alan Tynan wasn't, it's because they're not performing on the hurling field, that on the training field. That's what we want. We want lads having to perform on the training field to earn the jersey at the weekend.
Yeah, we sure do. Colm, I know you're under pressure there. You have to take the wife out to dinner for Valentine's Day. But in contrast, Derek Ling is also in his first year, and Kilkenny, to me, weren't up to much. I know maybe he got a bit out of it in the last 30 minutes when they came back into it. Now, Billy Drennan has been a plus, and John Donnelly, when he came on, I thought he was excellent. And then Lawler at fullback. But other than that, are Kilkenny at a crossroads? Is this the Alex Ferguson effect, where the new manager is going to be under a savage load of pressure?
It's probably too early to say that, Mike, to be honest with you. Like, the first half in Kilkenny was as poor as I've ever seen Kilkenny play, I'm happy to report. They were shocking, like. And, Stephen said we should have had maybe 20 points up on the board at halftime. We probably should have had two goals on top of that as well. You know, we weren't as clinical as I'd like to have been in the first half. They improved definitely in the second half. And, you know, a couple of their forwards, I thought, caused some of our backmen trouble now in the second half. If you go and look at that second half again, you know, we were under pressure a little bit. John Donnelly certainly caused us problems. Drennan caused us problems. You know, they've Adrian Mullins come back into the team. Obviously, TJ Reid will come back into the team. Young Cody will come back into the team. They'd be three big players to come back in. I thought Hugh Lawler was very good on Sunday for them as well. He's slightly worried. No, I wouldn't be slightly worried. I wouldn't give a shit, really. But Pádraig Welsh probably, you know, didn't. You know, I thought his performance wasn't up to what I remember of him. Also, Killian Buckley, I think, is struggling as well. So, you know, and their goalkeeper bizarrely was named, I think, in one of the teams of the week that I saw there, which I couldn't get. I thought he made a good save from Jake. He made a save from Jake and he made a save from Connor Bowe, but I think he should have been saving both of them, to be honest with you. They weren't. And other than that, his puck outs at times put his backmen under pressure. So I'm not sure really how he was in the team of the week. But to answer your question, sorry, I think it's too early to panic yet. You know, at the end of the day, Kilkenny were in the All-Ireland final 6 or 8 months ago. They ran Limerick very, very close, you know. And they were at pains to point out to me, certainly down there last Sunday, that it's only the league. And, you know, they were accusing us of it being our All-Ireland final, which I find hilarious. But as I said to them, generally when we played them in All-Ireland finals, we beat them by 10-plus points. So I don't know how they figured that one out. And the other gas thing about it, of course, is that when they were beating us routinely in the league, there wasn't a mention of it then being only the league, if you get me, you know. So it's amazing, the psychology of this stuff. But, you know, I think they were at half time, I think the lads were down there as well. They were very, very quiet and chastised down there, weren't they, lads? You know, they were in a bit of shock, I think, at what they'd seen in the first half.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the Campion. I'm losing his first name. Come on, midfield there for
John.
I thought he'd an excellent game. You know, it's very easy to do the warm-up with the rest of the team, and then you go sit down, the subs, they have 5 or 10 minutes in the game, and then to be called on so early, and to just slip right in, no bother to him, get a great score as well. I thought he had a fabulous game for Tipperary.
Yeah, he did, and I thought some the subs, I thought they did quite well. Conley, I thought it did very well when he came on, considering, again, he was sprung with an injury. Seamus contributed when he came on, and as I already said, I thought Shawnee Ryan looked lively, but I'm a fan of his, so I'd like to see more of him. Before we finish up on it, Kev, to turn it over a bit, would Cahill have been a bit disappointed that we won it, or we were winning it so easy, and that he wanted a challenge, he wants to see what these players are made of, and would he have been rubbing his hands with 15, 20 minutes to go when Kilkenny were making a break for it, and to say, Jesus, let's see what this Tip team are actually made of now. Are they going to fold, or will they stand up?
Yeah, no, I thought we handled that win. I think they got back to 4 at one stage and we kicked on again. We re-established our cushion. We took the speed out of the game, as probably mentioned already, Noel, kind of with the canniness there. Like, you know, we, as much as you can slow down a game of hurling, I think he'd be very happy. I think that there was always going to be a rattle from Kilkenny in that second half. As it's been said here, they finished a lot stronger with personnel on the pitch, the likes of Pádraig Walsh and that, like, you know, because they had to. So I think Liam Cahill, and look, as mentioned as well, we were, like, you would expect in February our legs to kind of be feeling it a bit the last 10 minutes. So I was really, to be honest, Mike, I was just delighted that I was fearful, you know, 4 or 5 points, geez, if they got a goal, another goal, like, you know, because being 12 points up, this new team, you know, you're thinking the worst down in Nolan Park. So, absolutely delighted we reacted to them kind of closing the gap a bit there and how we finished the game out as well.
Yeah, especially Kevin, as well, when you think just back a few weeks ago to the Cork game when we had a substantial lead going into the last 10 or 15 minutes and we lost that. Like, so, you know, if it had happened again on Sunday, you know, that was 2 leads against.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Cork and Kilkenny, if we'd managed to butcher that lead as well, you'd be understandably asking questions, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we did say it on, like, the podcast group, like, we definitely didn't want a moral victory, which you could have seen it, you know, Tip play well for 60, 62 minutes and then kind of Kilkenny bring on the artillery off the bench and kind of sail past them. But, you know, again, the fact that, you know, they did that and we rallied and battled back again, I think it's a very good omen.
Yeah, absolutely. No, good start to the league for Tip, 2 wins from 2 and doubling up next in Croke Park on Saturday night, the 25th of February, which will be good. I'll test Dublin are doing quite well. Just as you mentioned, Cork there, Colm, if we move on to the other games in the league, Cork and Galway was on Sunday. The Cork lads are blowing and people are trying to blow them up. But I thought this was a challenge game. Like, it was a shootout. It was, nobody laid a glove on anyone. I really wasn't impressed with it. I thought it was Cork of what we're used to. It's grand, lovely, lovely hurling, but they weren't
Cork in the league.
Yeah.
One thing I'd say, Mike, I thought their centre back played well. Joyce. And
Rolls-Royce Joyce, as they call him, down
exactly.
Call
him, yeah.
And they're right. He's a class act. Yeah.
Yeah, and they seem to be trying to unearth a new fullback there now. The young lad's name escapes me, but I only saw the highlights on Sunday night. I thought, you know, Joyce is he's a class player. And it was interesting to see Dalton as well, Decky Dalton, a guy who we would have remembered from the 20s and 21s going back a few years ago. Did he get 7 or 8 points and maybe a goal in it as well? Like, so, you know, and they were missing a few players as well. Harnedy wasn't playing, I know, and there was a couple of more not there. But, like, you know, there's no cups given out in February, as we know. So, you know, and, like, I'm... Every year I tip Cork, you know, to do something, and every year, without doubt, they let me down. You know, without fail, they let me down. So I'm not getting on board that bandwagon just yet. I'd hold my judgment on them.
Yeah, Owen Downey is the fullback. You're talking about. He's a very good player.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, he looks a bit of a player as well. And you know, that'd be two key positions that they'd be filling. Like, to be fair, if they manage to sort that out.
What was Robbie O'Flynn's injury in the end? Was it serious? Will he be like our? You don't look bad on the Saturday night.
It's not season ending, I don't think, anyway.
It was an ankle injury, but I didn't hear the extent.
Yeah, it looked bad now, the stoppage there in the first game. So it's, look, hopefully he'll be back after the tip game, like, you know. But yeah, look, with Cork, you can't help but be impressed. But we've been here a few times, like, but yeah. Like,
he's back in the league, I think, Kevin, and it is it. Yeah. He should be back for Championship percent.
That'll be something tip Cork, like, you know, down the park. It'll be some game. Yeah.
I would have been more impressed with him against Limerick. With I suppose the nature of it, the way they came back and they won it, rather than I just thought the game the weekend was a nothing game. Galway looked disinterested. It was like the score was what 4-24, 3-22.
I mean, Galway missed a penalty at the end to bring it back to a point, was it?
Yeah, like in February, a team putting up 4-24, 3-22 is like, this is, lads, we'll just shoot the lights out of it and nobody's putting in a tackle and whatnot, you know.
I thought as well, Mike, the game on Saturday night, it actually nearly put me off going on Sunday. It was atrocious. Like, I don't know if Sean, did you see it or Stephen?
Oh, I did. I was watching. I was getting, like, Limerick were allowed to hit the ball, but only American from anywhere they wanted. Like, that was it.
Yeah, so just on that game, like, Limerick were looked outstanding, Stephen. Clare were awful. Clare are a typical team who only have 15, in my opinion. They don't have subs, and when you take out key players like John Connell and Tony Kelly, they become very, very average, very quick. And Limerick exploited that on Saturday night, and Limerick showed that they have a pendant that they can pull from.
Yeah, that's the danger of the over-reliance on one or two players, you know. If they're not playing off their held, where's the inspiration coming from? It's, you know, like, it's like there's like a club team with two inter-county hurlers. If they're held, the rest of the club, why they're not really standing up? And that seems to be Clare. It's just, it's hard to judge Clare off Tipperary last year because we were just a shambles. You know, a couple of good games against Limerick, but they never looked like making that next big step up, and this year it seems like they've regressed a step, you know. And it's great for everyone, it's great for us. I couldn't care less about Clare, but it's the Clare folk must be a bit worried.
Yeah, Sean, Colm kind of references he was put off by the game on Saturday night. The throwing of the ball, and it's one that was raised on this podcast, and it's on. Conor O'Donovan has a video out about it again in the last 3 weeks. But let's put our hands up. We're as good as it now as any team is. But it seems very evident in that match. And to be honest, Keane Lynch didn't hand pass the ball once in the whole game. He definitely threw every one of them. But as a game, Colm is right. How do you stay watching this? And it's not that Limerick were dominant. It's just the fair, you know, the hurling wasn't there at all. I didn't.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, like Lynch, he wasn't even trying to hide. His arm was literally going straight. The ball's coming over. There wasn't even attempted a second motion. Like, it's just, and it's hard to watch then because Clare won't go near him. They let him shoot from where they wanted. Limerick have only, was the one shot and goals, they got the goal. I don't think they even bothered threatening the goals because they knew the pop score's over. But it's hard to watch then. That was an RT prime time Saturday evening. It just, and actually, they picked up in media now yesterday and the day before, wasn't it, about the hand pass, and then it's starting to come around again. People are just kind of getting annoyed about it. Like, you know, like, just let them throw the ball if that's the case, or pull your people up. I don't know where they're going to draw a line. Like, it'd be the same as, there's someone mentioned on the pug or on Prendry today, like, was it when the penalties, penalty takers started running up and getting the couple of yards extra, throwing the ball into the air like Decky Ryan and them years ago, so that they finally did something to stamp it out, and they have. So, like, we need something to come in and stamp this out. This is going to, like, turn people, not turn them off, but just hard to watch. They're kind of going at, for fuck's sake.
Bad knowledge, the game was hard to watch, Sean. To look at Shane Dowland then, before, during, and
you
after.
You couldn't see him, sure. He's around the ski slopes.
That's even harder to watch, you know, and listen to. But yeah, I found the whole, like, you know, Saturday night, you're looking forward to a good game of hurling. I found the whole thing just so, I was very disheartened after that. I was actually questioning whether I'd bother going to Nolan Park on Sunday after. I was like, oh, Jesus, like, is this what I'm going to be looking at now tomorrow? Like, you know, genuinely. And I mean, I'd no dog in the fight. I don't like to use the word hate, but I hate both of them equally. Like, so I didn't care who won the game. Like, you know, you just be hoping to see a good game of hurling. And you see Clare, I think they got 1-1 from play in the first half. The goal should have been saved. And I think on the 56th minute, they'd won 9 scored. You know, and to say the league doesn't matter, I see after the game, Loughan refused to speak to some of the local media down in Clare. Like, so there's always some sort of sideshow going on down there as well. You know, someone's not talking to somebody, or there's, you know, there's some red herring thrown out there. You know, I don't know. Just the whole thing. And then, as I said, Dowling and the punditry and Dalo beside him. Like, I don't know. Fucking whole thing just annoyed me on Saturday night. So, anyway, that's enough of my soapbox for this week about GAA commentators.
Are we putting Anthony Daly into the list of things that you
Anthony Daly is top of that list, Mike, and has been for an awful long time. Since his no longer whipping boys of Munster speech in 97, I've had a particular dislike of Anthony Daly.
Are we giving Stephen Gleeson a reprieve? Is that what you're
that's with both our solicitors at the moment, Mike. So yeah. we won't say anything about that. It's an ecumenical matter at the moment.
Yeah, well I suppose Stephen, that was I called the tip win a 6-point hammer, and the 6-point win for Limerick was a 6-point hammer, wasn't it? And clear error all at sea.
Yeah, and I know it's only a week off from the Cork game, but it's another week of training for Limerick. Like, you know, I wasn't too impressed with the Cork comeback last week, because it seemed to me that Limerick kind of more blew up in the second half than Cork were excellent. And well, like, you'd see him against Clare there, they're starting, the machine is starting to crank up again. Like, and that's what they are. They're a machine. Like, just to go back to a point there, was it one goal Limerick scored, or Deshaun say, like, I can't remember the end result, but that was a game there where you practice going for the juggler and you score as many goals as you can. You know, you contrast that with Tip the other day. When they got the ball inside the 50, you felt we were going to go for it. And I think down the years, the great Kilkenny team and Tip, when they came along, 2010, they could fabricate goals out of nothing. And I think for someone to topple Limerick maybe this year or next year, goals will be important. And I think it could ultimately lend itself against Limerick, that they're a points scoring team only if they'll play the percentage, they'll tap over the easy points all day rather than go for a hard goal. And I think that's where a team now might get a little bit of inroad in them. But they've a strong panel, and they have their corner forward back in training now. All the disciplinary issues seem to be over with, and he's a handful as well.
They brought in 3 new guys as well on Saturday night. You know, Houlihan, who was the man of the match, O'Dolig, who got a goal for them, and is it Tobin as well, the under-20 player from last year? You know, so they actually, I mean, I hate saying this, they kind of remind me of the Dublin football team from about 2017 or 2018. They are a machine at the moment, and they're beating everything pretty much that comes in front of them. Like, you know, that they need to, you know, they wanted to put Clare back in their box, I suppose, a little bit on Saturday night, and they certainly did that. You know, but I think you're right, Stephen. I think goals might be the way to get at them. Their lack of scoring goals, maybe. And if a team, you'd like to think of a team like Tip got a scent of victory coming down the home straight with 10 minutes to go, that we'd be the one county who'd go at them. You know, and I think, as has happened so many times in the past, that when a great team will be taken down, I like to think it'll be Tip. It was Tip that took Kilkenny down in 2010. It was Tip that stopped Cork 5 in a row going back to the 1940s. And I firmly believe it'll be Tip that'll stop this Limerick juggernaut, whatever you want to call it, you know, that day will be coming soon.
Yeah, well, I hope that day comes sooner rather than later, and it's not another drive for five that we have to stop. Moving on to the other games, I won't bring Stephen.
You mentioned discipline there,
We're not bringing Stephen in on this because he got enough grief after his grand sassy. But as sure as night follows day, 4 minutes into the game, Mikey Kiley gets his marching orders, and Waterford's discipline again raises its ugly head. Now, in fairness, Leash tried their best over the next. Over the next 70 minutes to try and even up the numbers, and eventually did. But Waterford, they're not motoring under Davey at all, I don't think.
They hit the same score against Leash that we did, though, didn't they? 232.
231, yeah. 231.
Yeah, so, like, in their own sub. But, like,
Leash scored 219, though.
Yeah, really. I mean, they don't seem impressive at all, like, but they. I think it's the style, like Leash, as I said, Mike, gave, you know, I was really hoping, like, you know, Leash just a couple of points in, and then Leash being Leash decided to kind of do the one thing that they couldn't afford to do and get a man stupidly sent off. Like, and that was the game then, you know, because that could have put really a big pressure on Davey. You know, you're going up to O'More Park as well. They fancy themselves a bit more at home, like, you know, and as well, they had everything set up for, but like, yeah. Like, David's probably happy he got his win. They're probably, what, one draw against Dublin, so they're probably, what, need to beat Kilkenny or Tip, and they're in the league semi-final as well.
Yeah, they're on 3 points, same as Dublin at the moment.
It's not panic, but, like, yeah, that if they get another man sent off this year, you'd have to say that they're absolutely brain dead. Like, you know, there's two free lessons there now. Like, I don't want to pick up their award for this week.
But isn't it? Like, I mean, it's three players in two games, and two of them are absolutely ridiculous. Like 4 minutes into the game, Mikey Kiley gets sent off. Stephen Bennett's one from last week, right in front of the umpire, like, or the linesman.
Like, you know, you should just be have enough in your brain to say you don't need to be kind of taking matters into your own hands 4 minutes into a game. Like, you know, you can take whatever's being said or done to you.
Yeah. Another thing that's come out of that game is the man behind the wire. Davey has obviously positioned somebody. I don't know who he's talking to, whether he's talking to the Waterford goalie or whether he's talking back to Davey on the sideline, but he's certainly given information to somebody. He got moved on at the weekend, I think, to Michael Verney that's highlighted this. But is that another Davey tactic to distract from the team, or is that something that he will do when championship comes around, Sean?
It's something he'll do and all teams do it. There's players wear it up in the stands with all teams. It's just the man behind the goals, and he's just obviously in sight and spotted. Like, but come championship, to be that up in the upper Hogan or Cusack and looking down and getting a different angle and relaying back. Like, the Mayor Foran has gone off the field now, so like the other day, it may suit him to give the goalie a shout and tell him to say something to a cornerback that might shout it out to the other player. So all teams that, and just media are blowing it up, I think. And it's fewer staying on a power trip. Get away from behind the goals. Jesus Christ.
Fairness to the Stewarts, I think the other day wasn't the terrace closed. So there was the lad that was in there shouldn't have been in there. If there were kids there,
how did he get in there closed? The gate must have been off. So, like,
That was my thinking of the incident anyway. But I wouldn't have a problem with people being wired up at all, you know. And you know what? If you're investing the kind of money where you can get a small little earpiece into your goalie that's not going to be like a rucksack on his back, you know what? Let him off. What? It's only giving you the only advantage as such is just making lads a little bit more aware, but. I wouldn't have
Stephen, I'll draw the line now at the goalie having an earpiece in. I've no problem with a guy being behind the goals, and when championship comes around, the terrace are full. He's not going to be able to talk. But a player being mic'd up is, if that is the case.
Allegedly he was mic'd up. I'm only going. There was a picture of him doing the rounds of social media. He had a plaster on the side of his ear, and it's so allegedly he was mic'd up as well. But I've seen it in club games where the goalie had been mic'd up, or the goalie had been earpieced up, and you know, and they're telling this lad is free here on the sideline. look, there's probably not a road we want to get down with, because then it'll all come back down to what counties can afford all these earpieces and things like that. Like, but a lad behind the goal offering information to the selectors, I'd have no problem with it whatsoever.
I don't know, and I wouldn't either. Given the information back to selectors, as Sean said, that's done everywhere. And by the way, if we draw you in the county intermediate championship, I'd be looking at your goalie.
We can't afford that kind of.
Have you done like that boring choice, the one earbud in for him?
What I would say, if the keeper is relying on a fella that's 5 yards, 10 yards behind him. Now, I know in the big games, in the big stadiums, you're higher up. But if he's relying on a third party to tell him what lad is free, then he's not focused on the game. He's not able to see what's out in front of him, because the goalie should be able to see who's free, who's making the movement. Because he's looking down the same field as the lad behind him. You know, like, I know they could be up in the, by above up in the Hogan or like that, but where's he going to be for the second half of the match? You know, if a keeper is relying on someone behind him, I think there's an issue with your keeper.
So the other games there in the National League, then that's Dublin and Antrim was fairly competitive, but Dublin were leading and Antrim came back into it. Keelan Malai got a couple of goals, and Wexford and Westmeath. Kevin, Wexford don't seem to be going as well as they have been last year with Egan. And
yeah, maybe that's, you know, like, they had a poor championship last year, so maybe, you know, they're after flip. You hear these things, you know, changing the way they're loading their training or whatnot. I don't know from, you know, looking, just having a passing interest in them, like, why, you know, they're playing. They're never a team that's going to shoot the lights out. And when you look at some of the other teams on that side, like, you know, they're all capable of hitting big scores. So I do think, you know, Wexford are just going to continuously going to come up short. For the next, you know, they brought Lee Chin back there. They seem very reliant on him. But like, I'm just wondering, generally, I think you're a little bit better off when we talk about Tip only having 3 league games. I think you are now better off being on that side of the league and having, you know, with respect to Westmeath, only 1 weaker game, you know, or only kind of one, that you're getting a good workout there in 4 games, whereas we are only guaranteed of, again, with greatest respect to Dublin, they'll probably give a good, I think they're in transition half their team seems to be in Australia, like, you know, they're established players, so, you know, they seem to be definitely under a bit of transition there, like going into this year in the new management side as well. So, you know, you do seem to be kind of more guaranteed of a good workout that side. Maybe teams like Henry's Galway don't want it at the moment or whatever, like, you know, they're happy with and no interest in the league title. I just don't know, because, you know, they don't have Munster coming up as well. You know, they're probably nearly guaranteed, you know, a place in the All-Ireland quarterfinals or that. So, you know, different teams will have to take different approaches, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Kilkenny and Galway are going to come out of Leinster, aren't they? And it's Dublin or Wexford then is the third team that I suppose going on form. But in Munster, that is just while we mentioned it, and it's very early days, Sean. Limerick, I think we can all agree, are coming out of Munster. It's not going to be. But the two from the other four, will it? If I was to ask you now to put your money on two teams, who would you say?
Tip and Cork, maybe, but then Cork come championship could be waiting as well. Like, it's going to be so competitive. Like, them first two games, like, if you get a loss early on, they're not expecting, or you win your home games, or you lose a home, you're under some pressure. Like, it's going to be a dogfight. And Limerick may even be caught in a game or two as well. Like, so someone might get Limerick on the hop and get win off them, go against the grain. So if someone can pick the three that come out, they'll do very well. But I think Tip Cork, Limerick, but they could be completely wrong.
Stephen?
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with the heart and say Limerick or Tipperary. I'm going to always pick Tipperary to come out. Even, you know, I don't think Cork are going to be serious All-Ireland contenders playing the soft hurling. You know, you have to win the physical battles, and they're not nowhere near it. But I do think they will beat Clare and Waterford handy. I think Waterford are in a situation with Davy that Davy usually go into counties that are at a very low point. Like, this Waterford team have been to an All-Ireland and All-Ireland semi-final in the last 3 years. You know, so he's not going in there to a broken team and trying to fix him. Like, I've seen a couple of Davies training sessions when they did it in his first stint around. Whether he's changed and mellowed out, I don't know. But he's like a man that's barking every night. And there's only so much of that you can put up with. Like, you know, constant barking negative in your ear. And it's Watford. So I expect them to be fed up with him fairly soon. And that could be shown halfway through the Munster Championship if they lose the first round.
Yeah, Kevin, the two boys have trumped for Tip. I don't hear any mention of Clare, Tony Kelly and John Condon. Well, Tony Kelly especially drags him through games. Is it where he's writing off Clare?
It's 2022 all over again, isn't it? People writing off Clare, and you know, like people forget then, I suppose, we got, you know, we had targeted that Clare game. We'd almost wrote off that Waterford game the week before in 2022. And Clare just came and ambushed in Classic and set them up for the whole year. You know, like to say, but they were seen as the weakest team in Munster 2022. I'm going to call it. Yeah, I think that they, whatever Limerick did to them is kind of, you know, like they're finished them. So, Jesus, it's February and I just said that. So,
I think
they're the hostage of fortune there. Yeah, I'd agree with the boys. Maybe, look, because Cork being Cork, they could do anything. I was going to get big tip. I'll go for Waterford instead, you know, to win a few close games there, Davy. And look, with Davy, there's going to be controversy somewhere along the line. So,
yeah.
But look, what I would say is that with that Waterford team, you know, having such a say in, they must have picked him, you know, handpicked him to come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, because the seemingly to say that the Waterford players have, like, so they must have known what they were getting, have their due diligence done there. So,
and Waterford have the familiarity of Simple Stadium. They have three out of the four games in the stadium, which will help them.
And they're cute. Their second home game is the week before playing Oswald, so, you know, another run out of the stadium.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they're going to have more games in Turles than we are this year, which is crazy. But that first game for Tip in Ennis now is going to be huge. I mean, we're here saying Tip are going to come out of it. If we go down to Ennis and don't come out of it with a win, perception changes almost immediately, doesn't it? You know,
the one man, like, you can see Lowen creating the siege mentality there already.
Yeah, he started already, hasn't he? Yeah.
Exactly. You know, he's starting early. And the worse the results get, the more that'll go on. Like, the grass won't be caught in the centre of excellence there for 3 months probably now, or something like that. So,
yeah, well, look, we're very early with those predictions. But, yeah, look, this is something we'll revisit in time. As I said earlier on, our next league game is in 2 weeks' time, or in 10 days' time now, against Dublin up in Crow Park. So it'll be good to get an on-run out in Crow Park. Next weekend, that's the Dylan Quirk Foundation have Tip and Kilkenny on inside in the stadium. So anybody that's listening, if you're looking for something to do next Sunday, a very worthy cause. The Dylan Quirk Foundation is going to go towards screening for SADS there, and for all club players. So it's a very worthwhile event if you can get to it. And there are non-attending tickets as well available. And there, last weekend, the county final of the long puck was on, and the West came out on top again with the two participants. Still the best goalie in Tip, Darren Mooney, with a monstrous 101.6 or 104.6 meters, which is an awful slap on the ball. And Kyle Dillon from the Aherlow Club coming second. And that was very well supported by all the clubs in Tipperary, and a good lot of money raised.
That's the same just on that, you know, you have to kind of give Kilkenny their dues, you know, coming up to Turles again. They always seem to talk out. I remember they were played up Nina for the Amanda Stapleton fund a few years ago, you know. So just, I think it's a great mark to them, you know.
And there was a couple of their guys up doing the long puck there in Tinoldy over the weekend. But just on that game, so after the game last weekend, obviously Liam is going to want to look at probably some new guys, and we might see some, maybe some Tinoldy guys getting a run out. Certainly Inda will be playing, I would imagine. But what do we want to see from that game? I presume Stephen Kilkenny will come, and even if it is a fundraising game, they'll be like, we're not going to lie down twice for you.
Yeah, you'd be thinking they'd be coming strong, but I'd also look, as was mentioned earlier, teams are preparing for certain times of the year. Like, look, Kilkenny have the little bit of luxury that, you know, the Leinster Championship is handy. They're coming, they're guaranteed to come out for it. Whereas, you know, Tip have to be right for the first round of the Munster Championship. I don't think we'll see Tip go as strong. I'd say a lot of the lads who didn't feature the weekend, or some of the lads that came on, will be starting this week. They'll see that's their game to show what they're worth. And that's where I think we'll see that. I don't think we'll be going as strong. Not that we'll be weak as such, but I don't think we'll have 12 of our championship 15 out next week, you know. And it's an opportunity for the lads on the periphery of the team to, here I am, boss, I want to play, you know. So that's their opportunity. That's the way I think it'll work out next weekend.
Kevin, what way do you think the teams will look
at
this game?
The one lad, you know, probably give Mickey Breen a rest, you know, for one. Like, you know, he's done a lot of harm between Munster League. You mentioned James Quigley there. If he's kind of fit and well, like, probably slot in, you know, lads like that. Ronan probably used the game. I just couldn't see a game of big intensity. I think Kilkenny would come and just try to keep on doing what they were trying to do in the first half. Like, you know, keep on working on that style. It's, you know, listen to those podcasts or whatever. Like, you just have to persevere in February in that to get things right. You can't turn it around. You know, like within a few months in the change of side. So I think they will have to persevere with that, is if that is what Derek Ling is about, kind of thing. So I just see more of that for them coming on a bit. Probably they'll just start drip feeding the Ballyhale lads back in the next couple of weeks. So I don't know if we see any of them. But I wouldn't be expecting the same intensity at all as last week.
Yeah, Sean, you know some of the Clonoti guys quite well. This will be a good occasion at the weekend. I suppose, where people will get to celebrate Dillon at the Tipperary Hurling public. I think they'll come out in force.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Especially kind of Dan Quirk was on Ireland M there last week as well, and it's getting good publicity by the media. And, like, there's a commemorative programme available. They know there'll be a couple thousand on sale on the day. The match being streamed also online. So people can support it in other ways and get something back as well. In relation to Clonoti lads there, a few of them might get a run out, especially Andrew Heffner will probably wear Dylan's number on the field end as well. So, you know, small things like that. But the sport round has been massive. And even there last weekend, has come back to us through Kilkenny there. And even the talk of the lads representing Kilkenny in long puck, like, I think Paddy Ling and Mikey Corwin for Glenmore, like, it was kind of known. And they're like, it's an open out for long puck. It was just a bit of buzz around that they're going doing, and they've no problem doing either, which is great. Like, as in, coming on board and helping with the cause, which is great, and people out here even talking about it as well, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it'll be a good all day out in Semple Stadium there on Sunday. As I said earlier on, tickets are available online. There's non-attendant tickets and attendant tickets, so it'd be good to get a good crowd out to it to support the Quirk family there and Clonoti, and there's lots of other stuff going on around the place as well. Before we finish up, lads, do you just want to give me the cup for the fancy hurling now? That Pod Experts League, it's not even close anymore. What's going on? Do you need a hand? Do you want me to loan you some?
In fairness, the decision to change your captain from Peter Duncan, who got 2 points or 8 points or whatever, was a master stroke.
The fact that the last 2 weeks I've had Peter Duggan and then Conor McDonald as captain, and I'm still beating the shite out of me.
And like Wexford, like, I don't know, to be honest, like, they never score as a team above 110. And here's you delighted on Friday announcing to the world that you have Conor McDonald as captain, like, expecting like some sort of tactical masterstroke there. So, you must be fiddling the books here or something on your mates up in Tyrone. So,
I picked the two captains from the two teams that were playing Westmead. So, that goes to show how much faith I was putting into Westmead. But, there won't be another. I've stuck with Conor McDonald now for the next two games. So, we'll see how that goes. The thing might come all falling down around me fairly quickly. But Orga Retro are on board with us as a sponsor of the podcast, and they're also sponsoring a jersey for the winner of our listeners' league. And good
bit. Is there alter ego in that one now? Or they're on the ditch.
Inda is not with us tonight. I mean, I don't think Carler in the Ditch is in our the pod league.
He's a monster score.
Huge, 328. No, he's not. J James Daly from Hospital Herbertstown, a Limerick man, is winning it. He's 563 points. And Tony O'Brien from Galway Rovers, who I think he was last year's winner, overall winner, does quite well at this holiday. It is in second.
That's still all to play for. One good week as captain and brings you right back into it.
Yeah, Shane Brophy is up there. He's in fifth place. So Padraig won't be too happy about that. He's not beating his fellow Laura men. Who did I say there? James Daly is winning that there. So he's in prime position to win the jersey from Orga Retro. Oh yeah. So just before we finish it up, anything else going on in the GA world that you want to mention? That's
yeah, Sean was just saying Tip Footballers have a must-win game against Antrim there.
That's right. They're out against Antrim on Saturday night, 6 o'clock in the stadium. Must-win game. They're 0-2 so far. And Antrim did quite well against Down, I think. So that would be an interesting game for Tip. An awful pity that we have Antrim in the hurling as well. That I know we have to go to Antrim, but like, would you not double up those games or the scheduling of the games should be more in line, shouldn't it?
Two of the poorest tennis games you have in the league. Like, just double them up. You know, like, again, so-and-so, you might leave a half-time on and go into other, but still just double them up. But then take a price and GA, they won't.
Yeah, it would make more sense, yeah. But, so the footballers are out. They certainly need a win. Anything else going on? Congress is on. Is it this weekend or in two weekends' time? I see there is an article out about the motions there and the age grades is taken kind of centre stage and that, so it'll be interesting to see what way that pans out.
The Hearty cover, the All-Ireland, Thurles are playing the Dublin School, aren't they? They bet.
They're playing Nave Owen. This week. Is that in Port Leash?
Is that the third place Leinster team, is it, that they're playing?
Yeah, so Colossal Owen, they beat Good Counsel in that playoff. They were the beaten semi-finalists and Colossal Owen won that, and it's on in Park Ratnichka, GA Club in Leash at 2 o'clock on Saturday. So get on to Padraig Dermody. That's
Thorig's on the gate club. There, yeah.
On the gate, he gets you a good parking spot.
Buying a lotto ticket or whatever they're setting up there. Centre of excellence.
Yeah, and the other quarterfinal then is Kieran's of Kilkenny against St. Raphael's of Loughrea. That's on in Nina actually on Saturday at 2 o'clock. So two interesting games there. Cashel, of course, are in the semi-final. So as we mentioned a couple of times, we've Dublin next in the National Hurling League. Antrim this weekend in the football. Best luck to all Tipperary teams, and we'll talk to you again in a week or two time. Tipper Dornabu.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.